Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah, the Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of the show this fine day in America. We are, and should be, proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, I'm delighted to say we'll talk with Santa Claus. Then Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. It's a pleasure to welcome a legendary flyer who's not in the military. I'm speaking about that aviator of aviators, none other than St. Nicholas. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Santa. Thanks for joining us.
Ho, ho, ho. Glad to be able to join you, Colonel.
Christmas Eve must be a tough day for you, Santa. You've got to cover the whole world in just 24 hours. You not only have to get to every boy and girl, but you have to take care of all our deployed troops. Are there deputy Santas who help you do this, or do you have to do it all yourself?
Oh, no, I do it all myself. You know, it was easier when I was younger, and it was harder before I worked out some things with NORAD, your North American Air Defense Command. Now it's less risky. Those jet interceptors, they scared the snot out of my reindeer.
How close do they get to you?
Can't tell you, son. Ho, ho, ho. Believe me, China and Russia would like to know.
So I guess you don't have any kind of a formal relationship with NORAD that you could talk about, right?
No, I can't talk about that.
Okay. Well, are your helpers elves, I think you call them? Are any of them veterans?
Well, as a matter of fact, I am, and most of my elves are trained in self and sleigh defense. I arranged for them to take the Navy SEAL short course.
Santa, I can't believe you just said that. Your elves, who are quite short, took the Navy SEAL's short course? That's bad, Santa, even for you.
Oh. I never said I was a comedian, but there is a similarity between seals and reindeer, you know.
You know, I don't think I want to talk about that, but do tell us about your reindeer.
Well, reindeer are the only species of critter where both the males and females grow antlers. The males' antlers are mostly used to fight each other over mating. Males' horns fall off in the fall. In the winter, only females will have a full set of antlers. They use them to protect their young and sometimes to hunt for prey.
Whoa! So Rudolph and his buddies are really girls?
Yes, they are. I didn't have the heart to tell the guy who wrote the songs about them. And girls don't mind. And it makes landing on roofs easier as females are a bit more dainty doing things like that. Can you imagine how many lawsuits I'd have if I used a bunch of testosterone-driven males? Can you see them slamming into chimneys?
Wow, I can picture you slamming into chimneys like that. And speaking of flying, did you learn to fly in the military? And if you did that help you? Did it prepare you in any way to fly your sleigh?
No, I didn't fly in the military, but nothing could prepare me for flying that goofy sleigh. Especially one pulled by a bunch of females. No, that was OJT, and I messed up a bunch of sleighs and roofs while learning how to do that.
I'll bet that was exciting. Okay, Santa, do you have to visit the homes of people who don't believe in you, or can you skip those houses?
Thankfully, I can skip them. I'd never be able to accomplish my mission if I had to hit every home. And as I mentioned, I'm getting older. Maybe it's time for the word to get out so fewer people would believe in that I exist.
Wait a minute. So you're right here in the studio now. You exist. The people from coast to coast hear your voice on this show, and they know that you're real. How does that work?
Well, you know you're right. I should go now. But first, I'd like to read you a poem I wrote a few decades ago.
Would you please? Yes.
'Twas the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give and to see just who I in this home did live. I looked all about. A strange sight I did see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stocking by mantle, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands, with medals and badges, awards of all kinds. A sober thought came through my mind, for this house was different. It was dark and dreary. I found the home of a soldier, once I could see clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. Was this the hero of whom I just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? I realized the families that I saw this night owed their lives to these soldiers who were willing to fight. Soon round the world the children would play, and grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. They all enjoyed freedom each month of the year because of the soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in a land far from home. The very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and started to cry. The soldier awakened, and I heard a rough voice, "Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is for my God, my country, my core." The soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. I couldn't control it. I continued to weep. I didn't want to leave on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure, whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All is secure." One look at my watch, and I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend, and to all a good night.
Well, thank you, Santa, for joining us today. That's an amazing poem, and I really appreciate the fact, well, I know you did serve in the military, but for honoring those of us who did serve, wow. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas, and you and your elves, because I guess you guys all work really hard for, it must be several days before and then the whole 24 hours of Christmas. You guys deserve a break when it's over. I'm guessing I said that right?
Well, yes. Mrs. Claus and I will probably go to Florida, but I have to do something with my beard because people would recognize me. And then my one reindeer, Larry, he just gets out of control when I'm gone. So we'll have to do something about that.
Well, is that a reindeer that's a male or a female?
Well, he doesn't know.
And you aren't going to tell him?
And I'm not going to get into that.
Well, that's probably a really smart thing to do, to stay completely away from that. Yeah. So you shave off your beard. So you must grow beard back pretty fast if you grow it back every year.
Yes, I can grow my beard back in about 2 days.
Whoa. Well, I guess anybody who can fly a sleigh around the world in 24 hours can grow a beard as fast as he wants to.
If you can land on a roof in the middle of the night and climb down a chimney, you can grow a beard.
You know, that makes sense. And to me, the most amazing thing is, and I didn't realize until you brought it up, safe landing on all those roofs. Goodness gracious. I mean, I wouldn't want to have to try that. But you did say you had a challenge learning how to do it.
Well, if I didn't do that, I would have become a tail hooker. So,
Santa, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Have a safe Christmas Eve, a Christmas night, and a Merry Christmas. God bless you, Santa.
Well, thank you, Colonel, and have a Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 ho.
Okay, next we'll review last weekend Service Academy football games. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Now it's time to do some D-bends. Go halfway down each time, do at least 50, and do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
From ensuring veterans get the care they deserve, to ending our nation's endless wars, to targeting out-of-control spending, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing America.
You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. And it is Service Academy football time. I therefore am joined, of course, by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome, brother. It's a great day.
Present and accounted for, sir. And it is indeed a great day and has been an absolutely tremendous season.
Sure has. This past weekend was only one game, and it was Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland, the Army-Navy game. I was there with my family, and Navy won big, 31-13.
Well, Denny, they sure did. And I will tell you that the story of the game belonged to junior quarterback Blake Horvath of Navy, who passed for two touchdowns and ran for another two touchdowns to pace the scoring efforts for the midshipmen. Horvath returned to the starting lineup after an injury saw him miss the final game of the season against East Carolina. And we saw Braxton Woodson step in for him and really play well. We were looking for Braxton Woodson, but he was not to be found, as it was the Blake Horvath show early and often. Obviously, Horvath used the time off wisely. He got healthy and honed in his timing with his receivers. Despite Army and Navy both being predominantly running teams, it was the passing game that produced the biggest plays. Overall, for Horvath, he was 4 out of 9 for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Conversely, Bryson Daly was 7 of 16 for just 65 yards, 1 touchdown, but the vaunted 3 interceptions. And that's why I said that it was the passing game that really created the biggest plays. I always talk about the turnovers and time of possession. That 3 interceptions to none was one of the keys to the game for Navy's victory. Navy really set the tempo on their first drive when they took the opening kickoff and drove 65 yards with a big play coming through the passing game when Horvath threw a screen pass to Alex Teza for a 31-yard gain. The drive culminated in a Horvath 1-yard touchdown run, and the Mids had a lead that they would never relinquish. But before we go any further with Horvath and the offense, we have to salute and tip our hats to the Navy defense. Ooh, did they play well. Even more than the stats, it was how they played. The Navy D clearly had a chip on their shoulder. Army's O-line had just won the Joe Moore Award for the best offensive line in the country, and Bryson Daly finished 6th in the Heisman Trophy winning. But the mid-defense used all of that as fuel. The broadcast mentioned continually how Navy's mindset was to finish every tackle on top and not allow Army to fall forward for an extra yard or two. To do that, you could tell the mid-defense got low on every tackle and gang-tackled the Black Knights over and over and over. Not only did they limit the Army offense, but they sent a message. That message was that they were going to be there for 60 minutes, and it was going to be a real battle for that full 60 minutes. You know, it was a special game, as both teams had combined for 19 victories going into this game. And of course, Navy was responsible for win number 20. What was also special about this game is it was for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy, as both had already beaten Air Force. So there was a lot on the line. The Black Knights, again, coming off of an undefeated regular season and winning the AAC championship game over Tulane. But it was Navy who stepped in and really put the exclamation point on their season as they moved to 9-3 and Army 11-2. Coach Jeff Monken said, as excited and proud as we were 8 days ago, we're as disappointed as we've ever been. It's hard to lose that game. This one hurts a lot, especially when the trophy's on the line and we've got a chance to keep that trophy at West Point. We didn't do it. It was a star-studded crowd that included President-elect Donald Trump. It was in the Washington Commanders home stadium in Landover, Maryland. But it, again, the day really belonged to Blake Horvath as he gets a game ball, along with the Navy defensive line, who really took it to the Army offensive line, and Coach Brian Newberry winning his first Commander-in-Chief trophy. Now, what I want to do, Denny, is I want to just look at the numbers a little bit here, because here's what's important to see is how much Navy's defense kept Army below their averages. Army runs for typically 314 yards a game, number one in the country. Navy held them to just 113. Through the air, Army usually averages about 83 yards. Navy held them to 65. But it was really that rushing margin that made the difference. And of course, the turnovers, where Army is used to being in the plus side. They're plus 14 going into that game, but they were minus 3 in that game. So that was really the tale of the tape, Denny. The Commander-in-Chief's trophy will reside in Annapolis, Maryland for the next year and until we tee it up again. So congratulations to Coach Newberry and the Navy midshipmen team and program.
Yes, sir. You know, and you never know who's going to win in an Army, Navy, Air Force. When they play each other, the record means something, but not everything. We have surprises, not every year, but pretty often, don't we?
We do, Denny. And, you know, Coach Jeff Monken mentioned earlier in the season that when he was asked about when he saw this team really rising to the level they are now, he said it actually began at Air Force last year. And this game where Navy came out and played with a chip on their shoulder was reminiscent of how Army came out and played against Air Force. Air Force was the favorite, but Army just really took it to the Falcons on that day and really started off a tremendous run of success for the Black Knights. And we'll see where this game can springboard the Navy program. Obviously, they were 9-3, had a great season already. They win the Commander-in-Chief's trophy, and they're going to a bowl game.
You know, if you're going to finish a season, that's the way to do it, isn't it?
Oh, that certainly is, Denny. And they're going to be going against Oklahoma in the Armed Forces Bowl, December 27th. And Army is going to face Louisiana Tech in the Independence Bowl on December 28th. And, you know, it's been a very interesting, as we look forward here, very interesting for this bowl for Army, because Marshall backed out of the Independence Bowl because of all the transfers. And Army has even had announced Kanye Udo, their running back, will transfer. So the changes in college football, our service academies are not immune to those, even though I would say they do not impact our service academy teams quite to the same level that they do everyone else. But, you know, even still, the Black Knights will be there, as will the Mids. And I kind of like both of their chances in these bowl games.
Yes, sir. And, you know, you were talking about the transfers. I've started developing the thought that maybe college players should only be restricted to one transfer in their college career, something like that. I think that would bring things back closer to what I call normal. That make any sense to you?
It does, Denny. And of course, that's what the rule was at one time. And even it was that if you transferred, you had to sit out a year as well. But if you limit it to one, that does seem like that's reasonable. Of course, the windows for the transfer portal needs to be reviewed, because you have players like Kanye Udo who has to enter the transfer portal now and can't play with his team in the bowl game, because if you're going to transfer, you have to find another team. So there's a lot of implications, and there's a lot of discussion around some of the, I'll say, the problems that exist in college football and who is in charge and charged with fixing them.
Well said, brother. Thank you, bro. We'll be back at it again next week. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month and we'll review our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gilliam. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it is time for the Battle of the Month. So, of course, we're joined by our partner, General Chris Petty. Welcome, bro. Thanks for being ready to do it again.
Always like talking about battles with you, Denny.
Hey, you know, I'd rather talk about them than be in them. So tried both of those. Yeah. Chris, start by giving a quick review of your time in uniform. Like me, you're a ring knocker, a West Pointer.
Yep. Graduated in 1987, which I know nowadays seems like a long time ago. It's weird. But anyway, so I branched aviation, did all the normal platoon leader, company commander, battalion staff. And then lo and behold, I find myself as a 42-year-old old man, lieutenant colonel, taking a battalion into Iraq. And it was during the surge. So it was a pretty exciting time. So that led to some other opportunities. And of course, I'm a brigade commander and I'm sending units back and forth to Afghanistan and Iraq. And then, I'm a colonel and I'm a chief of staff of the Colorado Army National Guard, all of a sudden running that full-time program. And then I get a call to be a general and I go to Bosnia and then I go to the Pentagon and then I go to NORTHCOM. I had a great, interesting, rewarding career, honored to lead troops like you were in a combat zone as well.
And therefore, we are genuine, bona fide combat veterans.
Yes, we are.
Okay. And this month, we're going to talk about the Battle of the Month as the Battle of the Bulge, which honored the 101st Airborne Division, the unit I went to combat in my second tour in Vietnam, commanded a rifle company there. I love the 101st. And the Battle of the Bulge is certainly one of the biggest things they ever did. Talk to us about it, man. Take us there.
Okay. So Battle of the Bulge, we're doing it because really, I know some of your listeners heard it last year, but this is the 80th anniversary. So we've got to talk about the Battle of the Bulge. And it began on 16 December 1944, and it lasted a month and a half. So it was a massive World War II battle, the biggest battle American forces have ever fought before or since. So it really holds some records. Now, why should we know this one? This was Hitler's last great gamble to save the Western Front, which of course failed. Like I said, largest land battle in American history, over 600,000 American troops involved at the end, 55,000 Brits. So a massive battle. And it created some legendary stories. Like Denny just said, the 101st really created a nice piece of lineage here. and Patton's Third Army rapidly racing north to Bestone. So lots of good stories here. But I also like it because it demonstrates Eisenhower's good generalship. So quick summary. So after Normandy, there's this massive breakout pushing the Germans back to the West Wall Siegfried Line. It lasts 3 months. It's hard fighting. Hitler's forces get resolved now that they're at their being pushed back to their border. Hitler hatches this plan that he's going to do a massive counterattack to at least get some positive peace settlement talks. He's going to try to run up and take Antwerp. Anyway, the Americans are, they're kind of exhausted and literally running out of fuel and stuff like that. They've overextended their supply lines with the rapid advance across France, pushing up against Germany. So Hitler plans his attack really perfectly. Great surprise. Americans let down their guards. There's a lot of intelligence failures that we can look at in detail, but we don't have time. And all of a sudden, Hitler launches this massive attack, like 300,000 Germans, 2,000 tanks, going up against the weakest section of the entire Allied line from the Baltic Sea to Switzerland. And Hitler just hits it perfectly with 300,000 folks up against kind of four understrength divisions. So the fighting is desperate. You know, the infantry comes out of the woods on the dawn morning, artillery prep, the whole bit. And then now here's an interesting thing. As soon as the attack starts, the Americans are reeling and being pushed back, but individual commanders are fighting hard and doing some really heroic stuff that slows the advance, and the roads are terrible. There's a lot of contributing factors. But the Americans, and Eisenhower especially, does some really quick, good decision-making. He sends an armored division up from Patton's group to bolster the southern shoulder of the Bulge. He sends an armored division from the 9th Army up north to bolster the northern shoulder of the Bulge. And all of a sudden, Hitler's timeline is really being complicated. It's slowing down, all kinds of problems. And then, now to get to the 101st, so Bastogne is basically on the verge of being surrounded. The 101st just has enough time because, again, one of Eisenhower's decisions early is to get the corps, the army reserve moving quickly. And so the 101st goes in. The town is surrounded. The 101st really delays the Germans, holds the town. There's the famous General McAuliffe saying to the German surrender demands, he says, "Nuts," which, you know, goes down in history. It's a great morale boost. Anyway, then the Americans slowly gain the advantage. The German attack stalls. The weather clears, and the Army Air Corps starts taking serious tolls on the Germans. And lo and behold, they are starting to fade and get pushed back. And by the 28th of January, they're back at their original lines, and the Battle of the Bulge is over. So massive historical battle, big gamble, big loss. This is like Napoleon at Waterloo, the last big gamble of a crazy dictator, you know, kind of guy. But effective generalship from Eisenhower, Patton, and all these subordinates. It's a great story, hundreds of great stories embedded in it. So there you have it.
Yep, that's true. And it was a bit confused because we couldn't use our air power for the first part of that battle, could we? Because of
fog and
rain and everything.
In fact, Hitler and von Rundstedt were smart enough that they delayed the attack, waiting for bad weather. I mean, how often does that happen? They delayed the attack to wait for bad weather because U.S. air power was, and I like to say Army air power was pretty significant, and it did take a toll. So the weather cleared after Christmas, and that really started helping turn the tide.
And you mentioned the good generalship on our side. There was good generalship on the German side too, wasn't it? They did about as good as anybody could do in those circumstances.
Yeah, they were. I mean, obviously there were some mistakes made in the planning. You know, one that leaps out is von Rundstedt put his infantry dismounted troops at the front. And so they really slowed the entire armor columns down the entire first few days. And that was a self-inflicted wound. They never quite recovered from that. So there were some mistakes. But yeah, I mean, we know the German tactical commanders were very effective, very effective.
And nuts. That, by the way, was translated by the guy who carried the message, the American, to the Germans. He said, translates to go to hell.
Yeah.
And they understood that message.
It's a big piece of the 101st history and lore. And it was, they did distinguish themselves at Bastogne, no question about it.
Indeed. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking in the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. Chris, we've got a minute or two left. Talk to us about Battle Digest. That's something that I think all good Americans, and particularly veterans and people that appreciate our military, would appreciate.
Yeah.
It's a great tool.
Yeah. I've put together battle summaries. They're beautiful. You've seen them, Denny. They're fold-out brochures with maps and images so you could follow the action logically. And they're concise. So in roughly 30 minutes, you'll know everything you need to know about the Battle of the Bulge and, you know, 35 or so other famous world history battles. So I hope your listeners could take a minute and go to battledigest.com. They will not regret it.
They certainly not. It's enjoyable. And you publish like a new something every quarter, right?
Yep, every quarter.
Okay, battledigest.com. Chris, thank you. Thank you for your excellent review of this great history, particularly one that I particularly enjoy. And thanks for being a great member of the team. I appreciate you, brother.
Always a pleasure, Denny. Appreciate what you do. Thanks.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease. Suppose you were forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Hey, I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a really great place to go to purchase silver and gold. That's what I do. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your thoughts to me at frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Colonel, retired Army Sergeant Bill agrees with you that Pete Hegseth would be a great Secretary of Defense.
Bill, Pete did have a stupid time in life, but who hasn't? Pete will do a great job. I'm proud that he's been a guest on the show many times.
And Sarah, a listener to the show, wants to know if our government will ever take care of the Carolina people who are still suffering from the tornadoes.
Sarah, apparently not under the Biden leadership. He's sending all available funding to Ukraine or Africa. Trump will put Americans first. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 25 December 1776, during the American Revolution, General George Washington crossed the Delaware River with 5,400 troops, hoping to surprise a Hessian force celebrating Christmas at their winter quarters in Trenton, New Jersey. The unconventional attack came after several months of substantial defeats for Washington's army. At about 11 p.m. on Christmas, our army commenced crossing the half-frozen river at three locations. The 2,400 soldiers with Washington successfully braved the icy river and reached the New Jersey side just before dawn. The other two divisions of some 3,000 men and crucial artillery failed to reach the meeting point. At 8 a.m. on December 26, Washington's force, separated into two columns, descended on the unsuspecting Hessians. Trenton's 1,400 Hessian defenders were groggy from the previous evening's festivities and underestimated our threat after months of decisive British victories. Washington's men quickly overwhelmed the Germans' defenses, and by 9:30 a.m. the town was surrounded. Although several hundred Hessians escaped, nearly 1,000 were captured at the cost of only four American lives. However, because most of Washington's army hadn't crossed the Delaware, he was without adequate artillery or men and was forced to withdraw from the town. The victory wasn't significant from a strategic point of view, but news of this initiative raised the spirits of the American colonists who previously feared our army was incapable of victory.
Yeah, it was a victory of sorts and one we needed. And on 25 December 1914, during World War I, on Christmas morning, the majority of German troops ceased firing their weapons and began to sing Christmas carols. At certain points on both fronts, the soldiers of Russia and France and Britain even heard brass bands joining with the joyous singing. As the first light of dawn, many of the German soldiers emerged from their trenches and approached the Allied lines across no man's land, calling out Merry Christmas. At first, the Allied soldiers feared it was a trick, but seeing the Germans were unarmed, they came out and shook hands with the enemy soldiers. The men exchanged presents of cigarettes and plum pudding and sang carols and songs. Soldiers from opposite sides even played a good-natured game of soccer. The so-called Christmas truce came only 5 months after the outbreak of the war and was one of the last examples of the outdated notion of chivalry between enemies in warfare. In 1915, the bloody conflict erupted with all its technological fury, and the concept of another Christmas truce became unthinkable.
And on 23 December 1968, the crew of the U.S. intelligence gathering ship Pueblo were released after 11 months imprisonment by North Korea. The ship and its 83-man crew was seized by North Korean warships on January 23 and charged with intruding into North Korean waters. Later, President Lyndon Johnson claimed that he strongly suspected that the Pueblo incident, coming just a few days before the communist Tet Offensive in South Vietnam, was a coordinated diversion. But Johnson did little. The Tet Offensive exploded across America and seemed to paralyze the Johnson administration. We urged the UN Security Council to condemn the action and pressured the Soviet Union to negotiate with the North Koreans for the ship's release. The crew was horribly treated and recounted their torture by the North Koreans. With no help in sight, Captain Lloyd Brueker reluctantly signed a document confessing they were spying. Then the North Koreans released the prisoners. Some Americans criticized Johnson for not retaliating against North Korea. Others argued he should have used every diplomatic means to secure a quick release for the crew.
In hindsight, there's lots of things you can claim. On 26 December 1971, during the Vietnam War, in the sharpest escalation of the war since 1968, our fighter bombers began striking North Vietnamese airfields, missile sites, and anti-aircraft emplacements and supply facilities. These raids continued for 5 days. They were begun in response to intelligence that predicted a North Vietnamese buildup of forces for a new offensive. On 27 December, Defense Secretary Melvin Laird said that the bombing was in retaliation for the communist failure to honor the agreements made prior to the 1968 bombing halt. Laird cited the shelling of Saigon the week before, DMZ violations, including infiltration routes being built through the buffer zone, and attacks on unarmed U.S. reconnaissance planes. Pentagon figures showed that U.S. planes attacked communist targets over 100 times in 1971, a figure compatible to U.S. air activity in the previous 26 months. Intensified bombing spurred new anti-war protests in America. And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, but it's important to be prepared. In addition to being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in the self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in the legal system. That's just the way the law works sometimes. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events who never thought it would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership today, go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Jordan Bodernick, 15, was floating on a raft in a creek near the Alexander Springs Park in the Ocala National Forest, where her family had been camping, when an 11-foot-long alligator started chasing her. She scrambled up a tree on the shoreline, where she clung, screaming as her parents called 911. Sheriff's Deputy Mitch Backman arrived 30 minutes later, heard the teen screaming and the alligator hissing at the base of the tree. The deputy used his AR-15 patrol rifle to kill the gator with one shot to the head, saving the girl.
Thanks, Colonel. Being landlocked here up in the north woods of Michigan, I've never been able to understand why Floridians tolerate large alligators. I mean, let's face it, these monsters are huge, and they get bigger every year. According to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, there are 1.3 million alligators in Florida. Each year, wildlife biologists estimate the gator population and decide how many gators need to be killed by hunters in order to maintain a healthy gator population. It works pretty much the same way we manage the deer herds in the Midwest. But here's the rub. When deer become overpopulated, Mother Nature steps in and rebalances the herd using disease and starvation. But what happens when alligators become overpopulated? Well, they don't die out from starvation. They encroach on swimming pools, subdivisions, and other areas where humans live, and humans become an easy food source. Your favorite terrier becomes an hors d'oeuvre, and your kids become Happy Meals. So what can you do about it? Well, here's a few tips. First, don't frequent bodies of water like swamps, marshes, and ponds where gators are known to frequent. Second, if you decide to go swimming, first scan the shoreline for a while to make sure no gators are waiting on the beach. If you see alligators, then find another place to swim. According to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, alligator attacks on humans are rare, but they do occur, and you should be vigilant. Be on the watch, especially during the gator mating season, as they tend to be more aggressive and more territorial. You don't want to get tangled up in an alligator love triangle. Oh, and one last thing. As always, carry a reliable firearm with you just in case you do everything right and you're still attacked. Frontlines of Freedom salutes Deputy Blackman from Lake County, Florida, on a job well done, and wishes 15-year-old Jordan all the best as she recovers from her alligator trauma.
I'm glad she was good at climbing trees.
Yes.
Our movie of the month is Pip. It's the story of a little dog with a big dream. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, get the link, and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to me at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, General Arnold Pinero will take a look back at 2024 and forward at 2025. And we'll talk with the Officers Christian Fellowship, and of course we'll review this week's Surface Academy football games. Diane Raver will then review the movie of the month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, All our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom, and have a Merry Christmas. Dismissed.